everyone. My name is Gurkamal. I'm joined by my one friend here.
Because only one friend is left.
Yes. It's been a second week in a row now that Air hasn't been here.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Hi, I'm Golzar.
Yeah. Anyways, we're a day one update. We talk about random game news and movies and anime and TV shows, whatever we nerd out on. If you guys are interested in us, you could follow us on our Twitter at Day One Updates. That's with the S, so Day O-N-E Updates. And Instagram with the exact same name. Or if you want to give us suggestions, you could email us at dayoneupdatecast@gmail.com. That's dayoneupdatecast@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
So today we are talking about One Piece.
The manga. Specifically, yes, the manga. Specifically. We're going to have on the episode title, the episode description, and now the beginning of the episode, top of the episode that we're recording. If you're only watching the anime, stop listening.
Yeah, if you're only watching the anime, you stop listening right now, because we are going to go heavy into spoiler territory.
Don't delete the episode. Listen to it when you're caught up. Yes. However, this is for manga readers only, because this is the third or fourth week that One Piece has been trending online in a row?
Yeah, because it's getting to a very specific point in the storyline that's getting very interesting.
Yes. It is exciting. Really want to talk about it. That's another reason why Air's not here, because he's an anime.
Well, he's not really anime. He did read the manga, and he's trying to catch up. It's just that he's still new to manga reading, I guess. So he can't keep up with, okay, every week I got to read. So he's a bit behind. But we thought we would record this without him, because he doesn't know, and we don't want to spoil it for him. We're going to pretty much go over, I think, the last three chapters. So at the start, which is the end of the Wano arc and the start of pretty much the interlude between the two.
So specifically, we're starting with chapter 955.
Yes.
Enma is what it's called.
Yep.
And then we're talking about chapter 956, Big News, and then 957, which is called what again? Ultimate.
Yeah. So on chapter 955, I'm looking at the title page. Do you know what that is?
This is just island? Big,
yeah.
The biggest
talking? It basically shows Beige heading towards an island, and it says to replenish.
It looks a little bit like the Colosseum from Dressrosa.
It does look like that, right?
It's Dressrosa.
Is it?
Yeah. Because the Dressrosa has the cavern walls, remember?
Yeah. So why is Beige going to Dressrosa?
Yeah. These cover titles are just whatever. Sometimes they're not.
And this seems like one of them, because it actually shows he's a fairly recent character.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. The only other Dressrosa thing we know about is what happened at the meeting, the reverie. But we'll get a bit into that. Specifically with 955, it's the last chapter of Wano Act 2.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the build-up for the entire war sort of coming to a head.
Yeah,
pieces are in play. We're getting a little bit more of a, you know, we know Big Mom and Kaido are allying.
Allying. Is that a word?
Yeah, it's just weird to say.
Yeah,
they have allied.
Mm-hmm.
The Red Scabbards are compiled. We know the identity of all of them. And Zoro's got a new sword.
Yeah. What sword is it?
Enma.
Enma. Yeah. He's the guy gave it to him, right?
Yeah, a guy gave it to him.
She gave it to him. The princess.
Yes.
Yeah, she's like, give that sword back. The one she got from Ryuma. Mm-hmm. The one he got from Ryuma.
The coolest sword he has. Yeah. But here's the only sword that has ever cut Kaido in exchange. That's a good trade. Yeah. That's a pretty dope trade. Though we know, unless Luffy ends up deciding to take it and dealing the finishing blow with a sword like a samurai, that's not going to deal the finishing blow on Kaido.
And then he tried using haki on it, right?
Yeah, and then he just cut off part of the island.
No. Oh, yeah, and look what happened to his arm. It literally went, like, pretty much bone thin.
Those are all of his swords. Like, he always treats his swords as if they have like a personality that they're fighting back.
He has to tame it or something like that, right?
Yeah, remember the first time he used that cursed sword? Like, he threw the sword up, he put his hand out and didn't cut him, and then the first time he used it was in against the Baroque Works on the Cactus Island. And he's like, whoa, you're being too violent, man. I got to rein you in.
Yeah.
it's not a new thing. It's always been a little bit goofy, but yeah. The only thing I really wanted to... Is there anything else you wanted to talk about about this chapter?
No, I'm just going through it. It just shows everyone basically training or just getting ready for the war that's going to start. And so it says that Kinemon, he added 200 to their side. From all the recruitment from going on from everyone throughout the series.
What's up with Law? We saw mostly last chapter, so, but is Law quote pretending to betray?
No idea, because they showed him for one panel, but it was right after they talked about someone giving their information to
I think it was Captain Kidd.
Who's the leader right now of this island? Forgot his name.
Like Kaido, one of Kaido's goons.
Like the king of this island right now.
Oh, Ugly Dragon Man.
Yeah, I forgot his name though.
He's in this chapter, but I don't think they call him by his name.
And I'm pretty sure his name isn't Ugly Dragon Man.
The eight-headed dragon man. Whatever. It doesn't matter. There are a lot of characters in Wano. There's a lot of moving parts and different characters and a lot of characters who look the same with different names and completely different. Mm. Wano is a little bit of a sprawling arc.
Because most of the panels are them preparing, and they also discuss that how their plans are changing. So instead of they're gonna go to a harbor to start this war, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the panel, so I'm gonna go to the last chapter now, at the end of the page, it shows that the leader king, I forgot his name. Like, I feel like I should know it,
but... Orochimaru.
It's Orochi.
Yeah, okay. There we go.
I think it's Orochi, right?
I thought it was Orochi something. Okay. So I'm just like, Orochimaru.
So he's basically holding a paper and he reads it and it says, a change of plans, Habu Harbor to Tokage. Hiyori Kozuki is still alive and in the north. So he has her location, he knows that she's alive, and he knows that the plans are changing. And then the last panel is Law with pretty much the kind of downcast look. We don't know what happened to him. We don't know if he's the one that kind of betrayed him because he was probably getting tortured or something's happening to his crew.
It's probably specifically there to make us think Law betrayed him, which is why, you know, he's not. Mm-hmm. It's a red herring. There's going to be some other leak of some sort.
And also above this, it shows Luffy's training is coming to fruition. He's able to do that hockey thing, at least.
Well, he has to fight Kaido and Big Mom, so...
Yeah, that is true.
Unless it's Gear 5, straight up, it won't happen.
I don't see Luffy have... It's going to be a really tough fight.
Although, once you talk about 257 Ultimate, we'll kind of get more of a sense of what's going to happen at the end of Wano and everything like that. But first, before that, big news, everybody.
Big news.
Yeah, this is the one that had everybody just kind of freaking out at first. We open with... So we miss most of the Reverie. Reverie started before Wano. It was about to start. Then as Wano chapters 1 and 2 happened, all right, end of the Reverie, everybody's being escorted back. And then we see Garp escorting Neptune and
Shirahoshi
back.
Back to that... Mermaid Island.
Yeah. So, huge revelations and reminders. First of all, Hitler exists in the One Piece anime, or in the One Piece series.
What?
Hitler is the king of Germany, the German country. Like, you know how the Kingdom of Hamburgers is the American
dude? I just noticed that.
He was in an earlier chapter. Like, when they were introducing, like, here's King Hamburger or whatever the hell.
Who's the other guys?
The one with the baseball bat is Hamburger Man, it looks like, the American one. I don't know what the other ones are. But, yeah, that's a shocker.
That's...
Oh,
my God.
At the top, we find out that the eight warlords... what's the Japanese name?
Shibukai.
Shibukai. That's disbanded now.
Yeah, the Shibukai is now disbanded. So, wait, isn't that near the end of the chapter?
Was it? Well, Garp was talking about it for the I kind of wanted to end the chapter on something else because I think it's bigger.
Oh, okay.
I don't think the Warlord is the Warlord revelation is the biggest part of the chapter. So I wanted to get that out of the way first.
Okay, yeah. I guess so. I was going to go page by page, but you just threw it on.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't know you were going page by page. Don't worry about that. So the Warlords are done. It makes sense because how many of the Warlords were antagonists of arcs?
And pretty much the leaders of corruption.
Yeah, so you got Crocodile and Doflamingo were like the two of the most notable villains of the One Piece saga.
Moria.
Gecko Moria as well.
Is there anyone else?
Mihawk is not an antagonist, but
he's just chilling.
Yeah, Hancock also just chilling.
Just chilling.
There was that quote unquote Edward Newgate son, Weevil. We don't know what the hell he's doing.
And we saw him.
Yeah, for one page, and then he got his status revoked.
Huh?
We saw him for one page, and then he got his status revoked. Yeah. Chapters later.
Yeah.
And of course, Buggy
the Clown.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
They mentioned that.
Yeah, it's pretty funny because they revoked it. And now in this chapter, we see, I guess because the Marines already know their locations because they're keeping tabs on them. So pretty much they revoked it and then they just ambushed every single one of the Shichibukais.
How do you feel about that? How do you feel about, like, this was like a core tenant of the One Piece world. Like, there's the Marines, there's the Yonkou, there's the Seven Warlords,
mm-hmm.
there's all of these entrenched sort of institutions, and one of them is just like, all right, gone, bye, see ya.
The thing is, the Shichibukai is kind of outgrown now, because Luffy's gotten to a certain state where he's stronger than most of Shichibukais, so it's not going to be much of an effect on him. So it kind of gets rid of one tier system that is not really going to have effect on the story from here on out.
Mm-hmm.
And now all that's left is Yonkos, which is a big one, right? And the Marines. So, like, I guess they just got rid of something that's probably not going to have an effect on the story. And they got rid of it in a way that's going to have an impact on the rest of the story. With a lot of the Shichibukais being Luffy's friends are going to get ambushed, and we have no idea what's going to happen to them.
There is a sort of we'll get into it in the next chapter, but there is a sense of, all right, the Marines have to prepare for the next big battle.
Mm-hmm.
The Shichibukai could have helped them in that battle, but we already kind of saw that in the Whitebeard battle.
I think that's why they just went for them right away.
Yeah,
right when they revoked it.
Yeah, it would have been a bit too repetitive had they just been, all right, so the Marines plus Shichibukai versus these Yonkou pirates.
Do you actually think a lot of them are going to get caught? I don't. Mihawk is.
You think Mihawk's going to get caught?
No,
by the Marines?
I don't think Mihawk is.
Yeah, no, I don't think anybody will get caught. Buggy will get away just by pure luck.
Running away.
No, it'll just be pure luck. It won't be out of skill. Weevil has to get away with it because otherwise what was the point of him?
Yeah, cuz he has no bearing on the story at the moment.
If he is caught and there's nothing else with the storyline, it's either he's going to do something big when he's caught, or it's just a thing that Oda had an idea for and then decided to drop it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, after Boa said that badass line in the last page, the reason we're warlords was because of our strength in the first place or something like that.
Yeah.
That means, like, I don't think anybody will go down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think so either. And Mihawk is, like, we don't know his actual strength anyway.
Those guys are so screwed. Like, the Marines who are sent after Mihawk?
Yeah. They're probably, like, shitting their pants right now.
They probably think they have a chance. Surrender, Mihawk. No.
Mihawk's like, not.
I don't want to.
Slice.
But yeah, so the Warlords are gone. That's one pillar of the world, mm-hmm. just eradicated.
Toppled in one chapter.
And we also find out the Marines are, they finally know about Big Mom and Kaido teaming up.
Yeah.
Because of they had a spy all along, X-Drake.
Mm-hmm.
Which
X-Drake, who's he reporting to again? He's reporting to someone. Kobe?
He's captain of something called Sword. Yeah. It's a new organization in
Kobe's the captain of Sword or something, right?
No. It says here Drake is.
Kobe's reporting to someone.
Kobe is Rear Admiral. So Drake is talking to Kobe.
Yeah,
Drake,
okay.
Captain of Sword, is talking to Rear Admiral Kobe. Sword is like an organization that we've never heard of before,
mm-hmm.
but it's one of those things where, like, they already had Aegis, right? Aegis is like a Roman shield, mythological shield. So, yeah. Whatever, there's bound to be a sword.
So this is like, either the Marines' espionage thing or they're pretty much their special band that they're going to use to pretty much be a sword and attack.
Yeah.
Right?
Also, Kobe is rear admiral. That's right under vice admiral. He's moving on up, man.
He's moving up, man. He's up there.
It's heartwarming to see.
I wonder how he's going to have effect on the final fight. Like, is he going to side with Luffy?
I don't think he will. I foresee, like, a super honorable, respectable battle. It's like, hey, we're going to go at full strength at each other. And then Luffy will, like, leave him. It's like, you've grown strong. Like, you should be proud of yourself.
And then Usopp walk and the Luffy fight?
With less whininess. It more of a, like, more of a Mihawk versus Zoro type thing. Where it's like, I acknowledge your strength. I acknowledge your strength as well. Let's fight. Like that.
And poo, done. Okay.
So,
what else we got?
And then I think the only other thing is the biggest
news.
The big news that notable and proud bribe accepting Big News Morgan.
Big News Morgan.
Will refuse to accept a bribe for it to cover it up.
Yeah. And he beat up the guy who was trying to bribe him.
Yeah, he fisticuffed a CP0 guy into the ground. He literally, like, rolled up his, like, feather sleeves like Donald Duck and went, like, and just punched him out.
So the page before this, before they go to the news page, the Garp is talking to Neptune and Shirahoshi. And he's like, did you guys not hear about the incident that happened?
Garp was like, oh yeah, I heard about it, but I didn't want to tell you on the way. Yeah. I want to tell you when we are safe back at home.
Basically, he says the incident involves the Kingdom of Alabasta,
which we already knew was getting targeted by Im at some point, because last time we saw Im and last time we saw all that Reverie stuff, he jabbed a dagger into Vivi's picture.
Yeah. And Shirahoshi's like, no, Miss Vivi? So they're foreshadowing towards something to Miss Vivi.
Something about Vivi. People are assuming Cobra because they don't really think Vivi is in danger, but I think this is something to do with Vivi. 100% something to do with Vivi.
So they also show the Mary Joy's Pangaea castle for literally like three panels, and I can't make out anything really from it. They show a few faces, but I don't know who they are. They're just leaders making their ways home, but like it's four panels of like not much to really see. I was looking for something.
It mostly looks like just to say, oh yeah, they went back home. Reverie's over. Everybody's home.
Yeah, I just thought it was weird that they would have this without anything hidden in it. That's why I was trying to look so hard at it. Yeah. Can't really find anything though. And then we get to the WE news thing with Big News Morgan beating up CP0.
This is ironically the point where there is the most information. We know there's a murder, like a fatality. There's an attempted murder on top of the fatality. So there's those two things. Somebody died and somebody almost died.
Wait, where are you seeing the attempted murder stuff?
Morgan's introduction page. He says there's been a fatality. Big obits sell papers. That's a fact. So somebody big died. A big obituary. Big died.
There have been casualties. News of death sells like hotcakes. Are you reading the official?
I'm reading the official one off of Manga Plus. Because I'm not a pirate.
I'm not a pirate either.
We're reading about pirates. But yeah, so the official one is there's been a fatality. Big obits, as in obituaries, sell papers. That's a fact. So we know somebody huge, a big name died. But the vote results are fantabulous too, and an attempted murder as well. Thrilling stuff. So, do you have theories? Because we see the revolutionaries freak out later, and we see...
One of the biggest things is... it's not only revolutionaries, but they don't say who it really is, but by the reaction. So you see like a few familiar faces reacting to it. So you see Ivankov, you see the revolutionaries.
We see people back in Goa, so...
And basically all of them are... Yeah, we see people back in Goa, so Sabo's brother, or half-brother, or something like that. Like, he was in Marijoa, and the parents are finding out about it. So
parents who didn't care about Sabo, by the way, and it looks like the mom is distraught in the back. So, you
something
know...
Something to do with Sabo, I'm guessing.
I have a theory. Do you have a theory?
Let's just keep going.
Okay.
Is there anything else?
I think that's it. Everybody's
we do see the mom, the orphan mom.
Oh yeah, kids.
And they're all crying.
Yeah, we only just found out he was alive. Why? Say it ain't so.
You see, Doflamingo getting really excited about the world turning upside down. Blackbeard also getting really excited. If the Navy's only going to take it, I might as well claim the prize. Take what?
Pack your bags onto the ship. If the Navy's only going to take it, I might as well claim the prize.
Take what, though?
I'm not sure. It's purposely vague, looks like. What does the... what's that line in another translation, I wonder? This is why I like how there are multiple people who translate pages, because then we get to see kind of like a second opinion on how a page should be read.
Yes.
But it's usually the official people, the people who are paid to do this professionally,
so
that are the ones to...
One says, oh, boys to the... boys to the sea. Boys to sea. If they're going to be picked up by the Marines, I'll just grab them first.
Okay,
oh, the Shibukais.
Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, because his power is to take other people's powers.
Yeah.
He wants people's devil fruits.
So he's going to pick up the Shibukais, I think.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, and that's pretty much the end of the reaction. So, like, what's your theory?
Sabo is framed for the murder of Princess Vivi.
Hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
That was my first reaction.
Who would be under it? Who would be
M and the not the dragons, but the Gosei, are they called? The old the guys who were the old guys who report directly to M.
That guy who looks like Gandhi.
Yeah. they're called the Ryosei or the Gyosei or something like that.
Gorosei, something like that, yeah.
That they're not going to kill Sabo because they already had a dead brother in Ace, and they already said, oh, he just came back to life because they thought he was dead all along. So he's not going to be killed.
Yeah.
Everybody isn't shocked that he died. They're finding stuff out in the news. Like his revolutionary friends.
Mm-hmm.
They're not like, oh, no, we're... well, this can't be true. You're kidding, Sabo. That bird is lying through his beak. Why would they not believe a death? If they're going to be like, hey, you're lying about this, it'd be like, oh, he's not a murderer.
Oh, and it shows Makino as well, right?
Makino with her kid.
What's up with Makino? She's like, oh,
Sabo. I don't know. I guess she must have known Sabo as when he was a kid, along with Luffy and stuff. I don't remember any of that, though.
Who's her husband?
Yeah, just some kid, or just some guy. Well, I don't think we've ever known.
He's pretty young, too.
All we know is it's not Shanks. Yeah. Like, some people assumed it was Shanks, and Oda's like, no, Shanks wasn't even around.
Yeah. Da-da. You saying the baby.
Foreshadowing, Sabo's the dad. But yeah, that's my theory. Everybody is... even Dragon himself. Our first step is to ascertain the truth.
Yeah.
We have to clear Sabo's name.
Yeah,
so it could kind of be a retread of Save Ace, except instead of Whitebeard Pirates, it's the Revolutionaries, and instead of saving Ace, it's exposing who really killed Vivi.
Mm.
Either way...
Vivi's dead, though, eh?
Honestly, if Oda has the gall to do it, because like his female characters are never in any threat or danger whatsoever, so...
Vivi, though.
What would piss off Luffy more, if Cobra died or Vivi died?
Vivi.
Right? What would tie into the story more? What would tie into the current arc of Luffy and Law upturning the Yonkou and forcing them to come back?
Because she's pretty much an unofficial
Straw Hat. She is the first honorary Straw Hat.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Shit.
Yeah.
Damn.
I really like Vivi.
Yeah.
But there has to be some plot twist that I'm not even thinking of to pass that. Because that is the number one theory, and that's the coolest thing. That's the coolest plot point. Like the plot thread, I mean, that can come about this mystery. Because the only other thing is Cobra died, and it's like, whatever. It's just King Cobra.
It's just Cobra.
Replace him with Vivi, whatever. Kingdom's fine. He was already almost dead anyway, thanks to Crocodile.
What if Vivi pulls a Pell? He just shows up at some random person's house.
I hope not. I'm still... You know what happened? Every single time we've seen Pell since, like, in the background, or he's like, oh, Princess Phoebe, please get off the... That's dangerous. I just pretend he's not there. I just headcanon those panels blank out, and it's just... it's the Anubis guy instead who's saying all of Pell's lines. Chaka. It's saying all of Pell's lines in my head. That's it.
Oh, Pell. You're such a cool guy. But then he came back to life.
I know. Like, he died as one of the coolest Gs in the first part of One Piece. And then, he survived. So lame. He's so lame.
No one's happy that he survived.
Nobody's happy. All right.
One thing also, we did talk about the conversation between Drake and Kobe, but we did forget to mention that I don't know how big of a news this is, but CP0 is in Wano at the current moment.
Where is that mentioned?
So when Drake is talking to Kobe, he says, "I saw CP0," and they're like, "What? Why are they in Wano?" And Drake replies with, "I don't like the implications. It would mean that the government's coming to pirate-led Wano to conduct deals of some kind." My mind went blank for a few minutes after I saw it. So CP0 is in Wano. Government knows about Wano. Government's interfering with the Wano.
Specifically Lucci.
Yeah.
Lucci has a specific hand because he's the head of CP0 right now, right? Mm-hmm. Or is he just a member?
I don't know if he's a head. But it seems like it because he's always a front man of
CP0. I know the elephant guy who used to be his boss now reports to Lucci.
Okay.
Because the elephant guy was complaining that he used to be my underling. Why do I have to report to him now? This is BS. Yeah.
But it makes sense for Lucci to be the leader of CP0, considering his badassness. If that's the sole requirement. But yeah, so we, of a country we thought that the government had no hands in, the government is somehow is in part with Wano, has something to do with Wano.
Yeah, or they're, I can't help but wonder, maybe CP0 has something to do with Kaido and a Big Mom teaming up.
Maybe.
Like, maybe they can somehow benefit off of these two things teaming up, and the world government, which is freaking out at the idea, doesn't know what the hell CP0 is doing.
Maybe they want a giant war between the pirates to just eradicate themselves.
Maybe. Well, here's the thing. Kaido and Big Mom are only teaming up to kill Luffy, right?
Yeah.
So once Luffy's dead, then they're probably just going to kill each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that could probably work out to the CP0's favor.
That's two Yonkos. And also...
A Yonko. The unofficial fifth Yonko.
And also, like, I know that there's like other people that are gonna be involved in this war for sure. So there's gonna be a lot of aid coming towards Luffy as well.
Yeah,
I'm assuming, because this is it's been told already. Oda said this is gonna be way bigger than Marineford, so there has to be more people coming.
Yeah, there has to be more moving parts, because as it is, Wano already has a lot of moving parts, but those are localized inside of Wano. So there are all these threads coming to a head, like all these multiple threads. But then outside of this small country of Wano, there's the Revolutionary Army, there's Cypherpol Zero, there's everything that happened in Mary Joy's, there's King Im.
So do you also think that possibly the Straw Hat Grand Fleet will make an appearance in Wano?
I don't think in Wano, because they never got the word out. Unless they're like, oh yeah, we got the word out a while ago and we just didn't tell the audience. But the way that like Robin and Usopp and them are acting, they're like, they're not mentioning the fleet. And
yeah,
they're
know,
not saying
like,
we can rely on them.
Do you
them.
Think they'll make an appearance in the war at some point?
No.
At all.
Because they have no way of knowing.
Even after the war gets so huge that it might actually be out there.
Yeah, but like if the war gets so huge, they'll hear about it after the fact. It's not going to last for like multiple months. It'll probably last a week, maybe less.
I don't know. I want the Grand Fleet back.
I want the Grand Fleet back, but I'm assuming they're not going to come back until the final battle, whatever that's going
to
be.
I want Bardo and Cavendish to make an appearance again.
Yeah, the Grand Fleet is pretty cool.
Yeah.
They are obviously going to come back at some point.
Also, for the Grand Fleet, I also like how majority of the numbers in terms of people is all from that one guy's fleet. the Moira fleet. That big guy, Olympus, his fleet,
mm-hmm.
is just all him. It's like 10,000 people are from them.
What happened to Gekko Moria, by the way?
Is he still a Shichibukai?
He got vanished by Doflamingo, but he's still around. He's not a Shichibukai because the world government thinks he's dead. They think he died in the battle against Whitebeard. But he's still around. We just don't know what the hell he's doing.
Yeah, so basically the rest of the chapter is just Buggy, Mihawk, Edward Weevil, and Boa getting surrounded by a bunch of Marines because the Shichibukai is now disbanded.
Yeah.
That's pretty much 956.
That's a pretty big, huge chapter. And that's not even the bigger than the next chapter, which is the holy crap chapter.
A lot of information that everyone was always theorizing about has been revealed in the next chapter,
mm-hmm.
which is called Ultimate 957.
So we open up in world government. Mm-hmm. Sakazuki and
Fujitora,
they're talking. It's like, oh yeah, you must be real happy about Shibukai system getting dismantled.
Yeah, because Fujitora was not a fan of it at all. Yeah, right?
from the start, he was like, I don't like Doflamingo. I'm happy to see him taken down by mm-hmm. even if I have to team up pirates and stuff like that. But yeah,
So I have a quick question. So on the first page, Fujitora does say all that's left is to put our faith in SSG. What is SSG?
The SSG.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know. You know what? Who will know? One Piece SSG.
Google.
Special Science Group.
Huh?
Vegapunk stuff.
Oh.
Special Science Group.
What do they have to do with this?
I don't know, but are we finally going to see Vegapunk now?
And the sacrifices necessary for the continued existence of the Shibukai? You've never been put on the chopping block yourself. You have no idea what it's like. Well, Fujitora is saying that too. Akainu, and then he says, all that's left is to put our faith in SSG. The power balances of the world shall surely shift greatly. But what does SSG have to do with this? Are they developing
something? They have to be developing. Vegapunk has to be doing something.
Yeah.
After all this time, like, they have to have developed something. He was the one who found out about Devil Fruits, right? Or was he the first person to find out about Devil Fruits?
Was he the first person to find out about Devil Fruits? Like the actual natural Devil Fruits? Or was he
He was the first person to find out that inanimate objects can eat Devil Fruits.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it was.
Okay.
But that was like a gag. So I don't think that specific point is relevant. That was just a gag. It's like, did that dog eat the gun fruit? No, that gun ate the dog fruit.
The gun ate the dog fruit. Wait, but... Okay, never mind. I thought something. I thought, you know, Big Mom's hat?
I thought
that was an item eating a devil fruit, but that was just...
That's part of her devil fruit, no? Like, devil fruit to grant souls to inanimate objects?
Also, the Lucci's boss guy, the elephant guy, his sword ate a devil fruit. The elephant fruit.
That... Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
He himself isn't a devil fruit user. His sword is.
Yeah. His sword should have taken his job. Goddamn. So...
So we got Fujitora and Akainu now talking about the fact that Big Mom and Kaido are joining, and then we get the second mention, the Rock's second coming.
And the first time we heard about Rocks back in the day was during Reverie, when Fujitora was talking to the fourth admiral we've never seen,
Green Bull.
And he said something about rocks, mm-hmm. but everybody was like arguing about how it should have been translated and what that meant. They're like, no, rocks is the name of a person. No, rocks is the name of a group. No, rocks is something else.
Mm-hmm.
But now we have the actual confirmation in this chapter what rocks
did they also is. Say back then the fact that rocks was before Goldie Rogers era.
We find out the specific timeline here. But before that, we didn't know anything other than Kaido and Big Mom are somehow involved.
Okay. Yeah, so Akainu is like, what? The Rock's second coming? Oh, wait, did Akainu say that?
Fujitora.
Oh, Fujitora said that. Okay. So the Rocks have something to do with Big Mom and Kaido.
And we find out as an audience. Because what's the Buddha guy's name? The old admiral? Or sorry, the old leader? Of the Marines.
Sengoku.
He's now just chilling, old man, eating chips while somebody else is trying to do a lecture. and look at this like classroom. This classroom are a bunch of like soldiers and vice admiral looking guys, essentially.
Yeah.
And they're all being told about the Rocks Pirates for the first time,
mm-hmm.
which is so messed up because their members included Whitebeard, Big Mom, Kaido, Shiki, Golden Line Shiki,
yeah.
somebody named the Silver Axe, somebody named Ochoku, also known as Wang Ji.
Wait, where are you getting all this from?
This is the next panel. And Captain John, who's like a kind of throwaway character from earlier before in part one of One Piece. But yeah, they were all part of the same pirate crew.
Wait, well, I'm not saying Silver Axe or anything like that.
It's the panel underneath silhouette. Oh,
okay, yeah, never mind. I see it now, my bad.
So Golden Line Shiki was a crew member with Whitebeard and Kaido and Big Mom.
And I remember in the movie, Shiki was a rival to Goldie Roger.
Right? Yeah.
So we know that that rivalry stems from now, because Rocks and Goldie Rogers, they were rivals, I guess, as well.
So who the hell was Captain Rocks to have been able to corral all these people who hate each other's guts?
I think they show him, like, do they actually show him the shot? They don't actually show him, right? Yeah, they show, I think, I don't know if that's a silhouette of him.
I don't think so. So that silhouette on the right is Whitebeard for sure. That silhouette in the left is obviously Kaido. This silhouette in the middle is not a Big Mom, because Big Mom was always fat.
No.
She was fat since a kid. So I don't know who
she
was,
but when she was in her younger years, she was slim.
Was she?
Yeah.
I have to look this up.
I remember Oda drew a picture of Big Mom when she was like 20, 30 something years old, and she looked way different.
Oh, okay. That's really weird.
So I think that's Big Mom.
Okay, then yeah. You know what? It makes sense for it to be Big Mom, because otherwise they would have just shown
some random person.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can find that picture. Big Mom.
Yeah, you look for that, younger. And then I will continue with this, because other people. So Golden Line Shiki, we know about the move from the movie. We don't know Silver Axe. We don't know Wang Shi, also known as Ochoku, because the translation I'm reading now is not... okay, so Wang Shi is a real Chinese pirate lord from the 16th century. Oh, I remember seeing that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a picture of Big Mom when she was 28, 48, and 68. And when she was 28, she looked rather slim.
Okay.
And 40, I guess after 48 is when she started getting...
But yeah, so Captain John, by the way, is... Do you remember Captain John? He was one of the zombies in Gekko Moria's crew that was always drunk.
Oh.
And they couldn't kill him. He was completely unstoppable, but the spirit that possessed him was just a lazy drunk guy, and he was only killed by Salt. And then he had that bracelet that had his map in it.
Mm-hmm.
So when Luffy took that, Buggy's like, oh, I want that bracelet. Yeah. Took that, and that's what Captain Buggy is looking for, the treasure of Captain John.
Captain John.
Captain John, who was crew members alongside Whitebeard, Big Mom Kaido.
How does Oda just bring these random characters that you think are throwaway characters and just bring them back somehow?
And like... Okay, like, we're stuck on this one page. There's actually bigger news in this chapter. That alone is like a chapter ender. But man, it's like this would have been the original man who's closest to King of Pirates.
We also know that he was beside Goldie Roger. He was the actual rival to become King of Pirates beside Goldie Roger.
Mm-hmm.
And we also, kind of from the way Sengoku describes them, we know that he was way more aggressive. And he also says they weren't, like, actually pirate crews. They were, like, they weren't even, like, close in terms of, like, being, like, actual teammates or something like that. I think the way he describes them being together, something like that. Or am I just talking out of my ass right now?
I don't know. I'll have to go back to the... Many others who sailed under rocks eventually made names for themselves. Goldmine, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see you later. Maybe then.
The reason why it's not common knowledge, one reason is that most members couldn't even stand each other, so they downplayed their exploits as a group.
Yeah, there you go.
So the members of the Rocks group themselves would not talk about being part of the Rocks groups. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, oh, here's what I did when I was younger. Yeah. I'm a badass, not what we did. Also, the Marines did not want to talk about it. Like, the older Marines, the Goku's age and stuff, they don't want to talk about Rocks. They want people to forget about Rocks because of... another thing, and we finally find out why the hell Garp is so beloved by the higher ups, even though he's just a vice admiral.
So they talk about this new island that I don't know if that was ever mentioned before.
No,
right? Because they kind of erased this island from history called God Valley, and apparently this is where the biggest fight has happened. So basically, the Rocks fought against Garp.
Yeah, and. Which in itself is like, all right, admirals are strong, and we already know Garp used to or currently possibly still is admiral level.
Mm-hmm.
But this that strong
confirms it that he's insanely monstrously strong.
But like, even before the page turn, like the ending the page on, here's young Garp, bloodied and bruised, and he was the one to like quell this battle. He was the one to defeat Rocks and became the Hero of the Marines.
That's where he got the name of Hero of Marines.
Yeah.
Not from when he captured Goldie Roger.
No.
When he fought Rock.
Yeah.
So that completely turns Garp's name and where he got that fame from.
Mm-hmm. Which, would you consider that a retcon? Did they ever specifically say he is a hero of the Marines because of Gold D. Roger?
No, they just called him a hero of the Marines, and then the only time they mentioned him being a big name was the fact that he caught Gold D. Roger. And you know how they always kind of like when they showed back Gold D. Roger and Garp together, they kind of had some sort of friendship?
I'm just going to say Gold Roger because Gold D. Roger is like Goldilocks. I don't.
So Gold Roger.
Yeah.
They had some sort of like a friendship or like some sort of relationship where they kind of respected each other.
Yeah. And it's another reason why.
We thought it was just because they respected each other's their strength. They're like maybe what they stand for. Maybe Gold D. Roger is at the core a nice guy, but he was just a pirate that they had to fight each other, right? No. So the reason why Garp was able to beat Rock was because he partnered
with Gold Roger.
Gold Roger.
Which is so damn cool. So it was essentially Garp plus the Gold Roger Pirate, the Roger Pirates versus the Rocks.
Yeah.
Which is so, it not only does it make me like Garp more, but it also makes me like Roger more. It's like, he must have been such a badass, man. Yeah.
But Roger's crew was also full of big names, right?
Yeah.
Well, currently. There's Rayleigh, they have Roger, they have Shanks, and Buggy.
this one, no, but this was before.
Was this before Shanks?
Well, yeah, this was long before Shanks was born. Shanks
is not that old. Okay, never mind.
However, we do have a little bit more details on the battle itself. For some reason, Roger agreed with Garp to help protect the Celestial Dragon. So for some reason, Rock's Pirates and the Yonku were targeting Celestial Dragons for something. We don't know what. Maybe we'll find out when the revolutionaries continue their thing, and we'll find out more of a motivation on the Rocks side of it, why the Celestial Dragons were targeted. And then here says Garp and Roger encountered each other on the island and teamed up to defeat the Rocks Pirates, all in order to protect the Celestial Dragons and their slaves. So that makes me think Garp obviously would protect the Celestial Dragons. That's his job.
Wait. Mm-hmm. But they say it doesn't. He doesn't fulfill that duty or something like that. So he says, I thought protecting the Celestial Dragons is a duty of the Marines. And then Sengoku says, Garp's moral code doesn't permit him to fulfill that duty.
In my translation, it says his sense of morality never allowed him to believe that.
Yeah. Okay.
The main reason Garp always rejected the title of Admiral is because it would have made him direct subordinate of the Celestial Dragons. So
he doesn't like the Celestial Dragons at all. He doesn't like what they stand for whatsoever.
This must have been long before they killed Sabo. So he's always hated Celestial Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
Even like I always assumed it was because of what they did to Sabo.
No,
but it was from the start.
He always hated them.
But yeah, it's. The next one is, for some reason, Garp, who hates Celestial Dragons, fought to protect the Celestial Dragons and their slaves. But the way it's written on this translation, I'm waiting for the official translation tomorrow for more clarification on this panel. But it makes it seem like Roger's also, Gold Roger also teamed up with him in order to protect the slaves and Celestial Dragons themselves.
So Roger's knows.
Yeah,
probably knows some people there.
Because as I was reading this the first time, it was like, okay, so they just teamed up because they had a common ally. Because Gold Roger wants the Rock Pirates gone.
Do you think M has anything to do with it?
Maybe. I don't know.
Something to do with the level
of reason M? They threw in the... they dedicated an entire page to talking about the Celestial Dragons. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't seem that big of a thing on the surface. So it has to have like major implications down the road.
The fact that Roger's had a straw hat and M has a massive weird straw hat or something... Rogers has some connection to him.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Maybe that has something to do with why Rogers chose to side with Garp to protect the Celestial Dragon.
That is true. I forgot about the weird hat that
yeah.
I'm not sure about how big Im is. That first time we saw Im, is that like his entire body? Is that like his hat and he has just had a really tall crown? Or is his head in that crown? It's like, his proportions are really weird.
Yeah. He was all shadowed out, right?
So yeah.
We have no idea. But it on paper apparently it words as in Garp and Roger who both happened to meet there joined for who both happened to meet there by the way.
Yeah, they happened to meet there and then they decided to
join forces and wiped out the Rocks Pirates.
Yeah, they also wiped out the entire goddamn island.
Yeah. So it's basically saying as in on history it's saying that they took out the entirety of Rocks Pirates, which we know isn't true because a lot of the Yonkos still exist. Along with
but Rocks himself is gone. Sengoku mentions a little bit later Rocks' ambition to become king of the world, meant he was involved with many of this world's taboo subjects. So I'm assuming like the poneglyphs. Rox was probably looking for the poneglyphs. Rox was looking for the weapons, the ancient weapons. Mm-hmm. Which is why there's not much information on Rox's pirates anymore. So if Rox was something to be studied, Rox himself, then it would have led into having to talk about the poneglyphs he was looking for example. Like, assuming he was looking for poneglyphs. Or the world-ending weapons that would have, you know, that he was looking for. So we don't know quite what his deal is yet.
Mm-hmm. So also, like, I have a quick question. So we know that right now the qualifications to becoming Pirate King is to find Gold Roger's treasure.
Mm-hmm.
What was the qualifications to become Pirate King before that?
Because
they're both aiming to become Pirate King, so neither Gold Roger or Rox are Pirate King at that current time.
It was probably sail to the end of the Grand Line. The final island. Who knows?
Where did that thing come from?
We don't know. Hopefully we'll find out. But as far as we know, the only reason why finding Gold Roger's treasure is because it's already on the final island.
Yeah.
And he was the only person to have done it. So if you were able to do the same thing, then you are also a king of the pirates.
Hmm.
Also, it could be something completely different. Maybe Gold Roger got the King of the Pirates monk here through some completely different means. And before he died, he's like, all right, if you want to be the next king, next island. Or go to the final island.
I forgot there's more stuff.
Oh, yeah, there's still more.
Oh, my God.
About
Rox.
Oh, yeah, his name. He's the first, other than Roger,
mm-hmm.
He is the first chronological Will of D holder.
Yeah, so his full name is Rox D. Zebek.
Yeah.
So, Gold D. Roger and Rox D. Zebek.
And Monkey D. Garp as well, technically.
And this is where you kind of see a closer silhouette of Rox. Kind of crazy hair.
He looks messed up. And he this guy is in silhouette of in the previous.
It looks like it.
Yeah. He looks like it's that small figure in the middle of White Beard and Big Mom.
It looks like him.
So he could be really short. But he looks crazy, man.
It looks like he's holding a sword too, right? At the top right of his head? It looks like a sword.
Could be, yeah.
Well, whatever.
It's clearly the sword, but it's probably him holding it as well.
Yeah, and he is no longer of this world. He was one of the pirates that one sees from time to time carrying the name of D. So, again, the name of D carrying through One Piece, we don't really know what the meaning is behind it because they never really go deeper into it. But
mm-hmm.
the Will of D having being carried by a bunch of big names has to do with something. We'll just find out the final island, I guess. And then we get to a barrage of information.
Oh, yeah. This is some of the information that we've been waiting to hear about for a while.
Sengoku throws the lecture back to Brenna. I don't really know how to pronounce his name. But he's basically the one in charge of posting bounties for pirates. And they just decided to reveal everyone's bounties.
No reason to throw everybody's or hide everybody's bounties anymore. Because we're in the end game now. So
basically, that's what Oda's going with here. So first they start off with Blackbeard. Marshal D. Teach, a bounty of 2,247,600,000.
2.2, 2.2 billion.
Gotta say the full number.
Billion with a B.
Gotta say two numbers.
So this guy worked his way up from random pirating bucko to warlord to guy who's just stealing members of the pirate, like the Shiryu, who was a marine, right from their noses, to stealing Ed Newgate's devil fruit, to becoming a Yonku in like a span of 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
From zero to Yonku in 2 years.
And the format of his crew is different too, because they don't call him captain. The admiral of the Blackbeard Pirates. So like they have multiple ships, and each of those core members are like a...
Yeah, it's like how Whitebeard had a ton of fleets under him.
Yeah.
So I guess he just wants to call himself admiral because of that, but Whitebeard didn't want to call himself admiral because, you know...
Mm. Next person here has been a Yonko for about 6 years. One of the four, he was the youngest and is well-trusted by his subordinates. Beckman, Rue Yasup. Who's he talking about here?
Like, okay, so big names. Beckman is a big name because we know
he was able to stop Kizaru in his tracks.
Name, yeah. He was like, oh, damn. All right. I don't want to get shot by no hockey bullet. Rue, really? Rue. The big chicken-eating guy.
But everyone always thought he was a big guy because of...
He's big.
He's one of the big faces.
Because he's huge.
He's just one of the main faces.
He just won't stop eating.
He's one of the... Ow. He's one of the main faces of the Shanks Pirates.
Yeah. So
he had to be a big name.
And then, yeah, Usopp's dad, Yasop. So these guys are in big enough names to be like, all right, this is why Shanks is a Yonku on the level of Kaido and Big Mom. So those guys are cool. And Shanks doesn't have a devil fruit.
Nope.
Or at least as far as we know, he could have eaten a devil fruit at some point.
In between the time when he saved Luffy and now he could have, but I don't think he has.
If he's the only person to get this strong of a crew with no devil fruits, that should just make him...
Shanks was also able to stop Akainu full force.
Yeah, that's true.
With the sword, one-handed.
Though, we don't know if he was going to use full force against Kobe.
Well, it seemed like it was...
Could have been just like a punch like that instead of a wind-up. But he's strong enough to... Not only
stop
that,
magma.
stop that and then have Sengoku be like, nah, we can't fight the red
He
red
also hairs. Stopped the entire war.
We cannot do this.
Yeah.
We're done. So, Shanks is sitting at an almost clean 4 billion.
Yeah, 4,048,900,000. So he's almost double of, not really double, but like almost like...
Yeah, a little under double of Blackbeard.
Which is respectable because he is a huge name.
So wait, what is Luffy's bounty again?
1 billion something.
Okay, so he still has ways to go before he reaches even Blackbeard status.
Yeah. Well, Blackbeard status mostly got there because of the Marineford incident.
Yeah, it would have. Even though he's a Yonku, it's still pretty low, but that's only because of the 2-year passing. Yeah. That's it.
Next, it said that she attacked the giant village of Elba. I like how every single one of them has like an introduction.
it's like the anime lead up, and it's just like, here's a lead up, even though you know all this information, big name.
So next is Big Mom. Captain of the Big Mom Pirates, Charlotte Lin Lin, with a bounty of 4,388,000,000. So a bit like a 200 million over Shanks.
Yeah, about 200 million over Shanks, which is pretty dope. Straw Hat's managed to push her into the water.
Yeah,
which is shocking because 4.4 billion. Essentially,
she was actually frightening in that chase.
Yeah,
in the whole Cake Island arc.
And then finally.
They mentioned the Rocks crew again.
He was only an apprentice when he was with the Rocks crew. And then he became an emperor in the process.
Kaido.
4.6 billion.
4.6 billion. So, how much is he? So,
the Governor General of the Beast Pirates is what he's called.
Again, an increment of almost 200 million to Kaido from Big Mom.
I don't know what your translation says, but what does the guy say when you scroll down under Kaido's bounty?
I'm getting dizzy.
Oh. In this one, it's like, how depressing.
Wait, what? Really?
Yeah.
Why depressing?
Because it's just like, man, I don't want to fight these guys. This is bullshit.
I like how they show Sengoku's face just like, no emotion whatsoever.
Yeah. And Branu is saying here what we mentioned when we were talking about the last chapter. You can't use a Shibukai against the Yonku anymore because Shibukai are gone.
Yep.
Like, they got disbanded at the worst possible moment because the minute they were disbanded and hunted down, oh, by the way, Kaido and Big Mom teamed up.
Yeah, so here's the SSG mentioned again. It will be decided in the future by the Special Science Group SSG.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, allow me to remind you of the bounties of two legendary men. Wait, I thought there were only four Yonkos. Who is he going to go over next?
We can talk about the first number. Can we leave the second number for last, like when we're done the chapter? Because there's something about this number that I want to talk about.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Captain of the Whitebeard Pirates, Edward Newgate, bounty of 5,046,000,000.
Yeah. So that's about, how much is that over Kaido? I think that's 300?
Yeah.
400. About 400 million increase from Kaido.
And that's about 100 million above Shanks. A little bit under 100 million above Shanks.
Yeah.
And they kind of respected each other, and they kind of had that hockey standoff on the ship. Yeah. Although, so, I guess when you get that high, when you get into the billions, then a few million doesn't really make a difference. And then we finally get Pirate King Gold Roger's bounty, which I kind of want to talk about a little bit later.
Okay.
So no single pirate has ever surpassed the bounties of these two. These are the highest bounty ever. The Gold Roger and Whitebeard. However, if Big Mom and Kaido alliance comes to fruition, their combined bounty will obviously exceed both of them.
Yeah, that's, like, a, how that's you more said, than we'll 8 billion. Surpass. Of course it is. Just add the numbers, man. So they're pretty much just giving the information to all the Marines. But then, who walks into the room?
A Kaido.
Huh? A Kaido. I thought you said a Kaido.
A Kaido. A wild Kaido appears. No, a Kaido. It's Sakazuki.
Yeah, Sakazuki appears. And what did he say? Leave Wano for now. We don't have the manpower. Which makes sense because they don't have the Shibukai anymore. To tear those two apart, to tear apart those two, Sengoku. I have no intention of getting involved. I was just... Okay, so Sengoku was just talking about how...
Yeah, I just wanted to spread knowledge, man.
Yeah,
I'm not saying nothing.
Oh, so is he getting mad at Sengoku for giving that information?
Yeah, okay. Pretty much.
Pirates of Interpersonal 2, reasons for the next move. Without an understanding of our past, the future will forever remain dark. Which it was, because we had no idea about any of this stuff before.
Sengoku also says, pirates are capable of developing relationships with one another. Their actions always have a motive behind them. Not only talking about Kaido and Big Mom, but also Luffy and Law. Also talking about the any of the pirates that are under Kaido right now, the other of the supernovas.
Yeah. And then Sengoku, as he walks out the room, he's like, I'll just drop some more knowledge. So Whitebeard, Roger, and Redhair were quite fond of a pirate from Wano. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about Kozuki Oden, who was the leader before Orochi, right?
He is Momochi or...
Momonosuke.
Momonosuke. He was Momonosuke's dad.
Yeah.
The original leader, and he was the one who was murdered.
He was once a captain of one of Whitebeard's ship. But he was
like
also
a division commander. So like how Ace was a commander of his own.
And he also tagged along with Gold Roger on his final voyage.
Which we knew about from before.
Mm-hmm.
Wano is a common factor for all these big shots. It's too much of a coincidence.
Yeah.
So again, things are kind of like CP0 is in Wano. They're talking about how Wano is the center of it all. Talking about Momonosuke's dad being a member of a Whitebeard crew and Gold Roger's crew.
Yeah.
Now,
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
So Sengoku's retired, right?
Yeah. He's just like a teacher.
I'm wondering what's the Marine security if they just have one retired dude just walking around?
Well, I'm pretty sure even if he wasn't a teacher that they would let him do whatever the hell he wanted.
Just walking around.
Because Sengoku was, you know,
very respected, right?
So now the reason I wanted to talk about Gold Roger's bounty last,
mm-hmm.
Captain of the Roger Pirates, Pirate King Gold Roger, bounty of 564,800,000. So almost 5.7 billion.
5.6 billion.
Five point five six four billion. Reason why, so this is obviously the biggest number ever.
Yeah.
There are actually no numbers bigger. Like not even in One Piece series, but like in modern day, there's nothing over 5.5 billion. Damn. Scientists haven't gotten that high. They haven't counted that high before.
Okay.
You finally get what I was saying, right?
Yeah, I was like, where are you going with this? I was like, there's no bounty higher.
It is the highest number ever to exist. There's no record of higher numbers.
Not even the population of the world?
No. It's like 5.5 billion plus a little bit extra.
Plus a little bit extra.
So, I saw on Reddit somebody called UltraLaser360. Who had this post on Reddit, and it just blew my mind. Roger's bounty is 5.5 billion, aka go. Luffy's bounty at the end of the series will be 5.6, because another way of saying 6 is mu. Go mu.
Go fruit?
Go mu.
Yeah, yeah.
5.6 is go mu.
Yeah, go mu.
That's what Luffy's bounty will be at the end. It's been planned since the beginning. Chapter 1, Gomu Gomu Fruit.
Well, what's the specialness of
Oh, it's just a number for Luffy to surpass. That's it.
Okay, I thought Gogo might have had some sort of
meaning. No, Go in Japanese is 5.
What if, like, a Goldie Rogers' power is to go?
No.
Go. Stop talking. He's like, well, he's funny rocks. Go.
Stop talking. Okay, so, Luffy, here are my predictions going forward.
Yeah.
At Wano, Luffy will single-handedly beat either Kaido or Big Mom. Mm-hmm. Or those two will wipe each other out, and then Luffy will take care of whoever's remaining. Mm-hmm. But either way, Luffy will get credit for beating them both.
Yeah.
Luffy's bounty will shoot up to the 4 billion range.
Yeah.
From 1 billion to 4 billion. Because he took out down an 8 billion mm-hmm. bounty, essentially.
And then who's left?
And then Blackbeard,
yep.
M, all that crap, gets to the final island, gets Gold Roger's treasure, boom, 5.6 billion.
There has to... Like, if he gets to Gold Roger status, there has to be something else that pushes him to go above Gold Roger's bounty, though.
No, well, there's nothing over Gold Roger's bounty. Because as soon as he becomes the Pirate King, he's done. Surpassing Gold Roger's bounty means he is he's the Pirate King.
Okay.
That's as simple as it is. They're not going to give him a higher bounty and say he's not the Pirate King yet. He is going to be the Pirate King when he gets 5.6 bounty. No, 5.6. Because Gomu, right? Which is why, like, people figure this out already. Mm-hmm. Who like have barely any understanding of Japanese. People in Japan must have figured it out right away.
If he becomes Pirate King, it makes sense for him to get equal bounty because he's equal standing of Gold Roger.
No, he will have surpassed.
To get to Gomu, there has to be something else that he's done that pushes him further.
No, I think it's enough to be like he has surpassed it. And also, we don't know how inflation works in the One Piece world. So
he won by inflation.
On a technicality. Which is the best way to win. But yeah, it's
so
yeah.
What are you looking forward to now after this?
Wano, I think, is gonna be the second last major arc.
Do you think we're heading to the part 3 of Wano straight away after this chapter, or is there gonna be more stuff?
I think so, because we're not cutting back to Sabo because we cut away from Sabo already. We'll find out about Sabo when Luffy gets news of the outside world. After he finds out about Wano, then he's like, oh crap, we have to head to Mary Joy right now. I think because this ended in everything's coming to a head at Wano, it's a bit of too much for a coincidence, don't you think? Then we're going to cut to Wano. It'll be too weird not to cut back to Wano after this chapter.
Yeah.
And I think because of Gold Roger's being revealed as 5.5 billion and everybody kind of figuring out, oh yeah, 5.6 billion is going to be Luffy's thing. We now know what Luffy's final bounty is. Mm-hmm. We have to be so close to the end now.
Yeah.
That's why I think Wano is the second last arc.
Should be. It makes sense for it to be. Because two of the biggest leaders, there's nothing really beyond that, are falling down in this arc. And then you have a few pieces left. And that makes sense to happen in one massive arc that's going to happen at the end.
How do you feel getting closer to the end? End of One Piece.
I am excited, but also I don't know what my life's going to mean after that. Because it came out in 1998. It's almost as old as I am.
Oh, yeah. So you were born in 95?
95.
Yeah.
So it's almost as old as I am. My life is One Piece.
One Piece has been around for longer than any of us were conscious about what anime was.
Yes.
Because when I was like, I don't know, 1998, 1999, I was probably thinking of, oh yeah, Gundam Wing and Escaflowne and stuff. Those are those cartoons on YTV. Mm. Like, you know, SpongeBob is also a cartoon. So like there's no distinction between anime series and other stuff to us.
What's amazing though is like me and you, I think, consistently for the past like 6-7 years, have read One Piece every week. I don't think we've really taken breaks.
I've been reading it since I kind of got sick of watching Dressrosa. Mm-hmm. The first chapter I ended up reading was Senior Pink's backstory.
Oh, okay. So that wasn't that long.
It wasn't that long ago.
Okay, for me, it was long ago.
You were reading it for a while.
Yeah.
But I started reading the first chapter I read was Senior Pink's backstory. Right. And then even then, like, One Piece was a show that always was there, always existed, always had hundreds of episodes mm-hmm. since I've first known about it. And it was one of those things where it's like, all right, I have to get into it now. All right, I'm going to get into it now. And it took me a couple of tries to properly get into it. And then once I was in for good. Mm-hmm. And even when One Piece anime got so ridiculously bad, like one of the worst animes I've seen,
yeah,
it didn't make me quit the series. It just made me jump onto the manga.
Which is...
And I don't regret better. It.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so much better.
It's just insane. For 6 years, I've been reading this. Almost 6, 7 years, I've been reading this week to week without taking any breaks. Like, that's an insane amount of time to be doing that, something that consistently.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, what am I going to do every week now?
Start from chapter one. Time to read again.
Like, what's the next big mangas that are coming out is like Hero, but like,
but that's never going to reach the status of One Piece.
Nothing will ever reach the level of One Piece.
Yeah. And I think it's honestly kind of fitting, mm-hmm. you know, like nothing will even get close. Dragon Ball Z is nowhere close.
In terms of worldwide sales and overall worldwide
appreciation. Worldwide sales, just this entire scale and scope of the story, everything about it.
It's like the number one selling comic, right?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure about that, but it's definitely number one manga, like with the speeding bullet. It is up there. Yeah.
Top 10. Okay, like I don't even know of if... Yeah, One Piece. One Piece is the number one sold comic.
Cool.
So One Piece is number one, and then the second is Asterisk.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know either. What is Asterisk? I don't know. This looks weird. I think it's... Okay, never mind. Whatever, screw it. This is just going down some rabbit hole. Apparently, it was from the 1970s.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, it's... There is going to be a sort of void. Mm-hmm. Like a hole that will be left when it's done the manga. However, the anime will be around for a while with how long it takes.
Yeah.
Hey, what chapter does this episode cover? Because it only covers one chapter per episode. Oh, this episode only covers 8 panels. Man, I really want to watch the anime again with the fixed art style, but man, that pacing is still so bad. It is just so atrocious.
Yeah. I am watching it now. The animation's gotten a lot better, and the art style has also gotten a lot better. But the pacing is still an issue.
Yeah, which is the main reason why I ended up stopping the first one. Like, I was able to live with the old, mm-hmm. like, the outdated animation and art style because it was already so old and outdated. Like, not outdated, but it was already also old. It's been running forever. So I kind of gave it a pass. It was pacing that was always an issue for me.
Yeah.
Whereas the chapters, lately, it's like, oh my god. So how many episodes are these three chapters we talked about going to take? Because they cram so much information into these chapters. And it's just like, all right, so there's going to be one episode dedicated solely on rocks. There's going to be one episode dedicated solely on the bounties. Mm-hmm. There's going to be one episode solely on getting Enma. There's going to be one episode solely on, like, everybody gathering together.
Yeah.
There's going to be one episode on the Sabo news. There's going to be one episode on Sword. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be one episode on the Shibukai. Those are my predictions.
It's going to get... Oh, man. I'm too excited. I'm way too excited for this.
Yeah. All right.
Anyways, I think that's a good place. I think that's a good place to end it off now.
If any of you have any ideas on what we could do with our lives after One Piece is done, let us know at... You're closer to the thing. You're closer to the thing you made out.
So you could reach us at Day One Updates on Twitter and Instagram. So that's Done Updates with the S.
I should be memorizing this because we say it all the time.
Yeah. And you could also email us with any suggestions, like Ozar mentioned, at dayoneupdatecast@gmail.com. That's dayoneupdatecast@gmail.com. And if you guys did enjoy our little podcast, or even if this One Piece episode, let us know when we might do more of these roundups of chapters in the future.
Not too often. I feel like this worked because there was so much big news, like 3 weeks, mm-hmm. two to 3 weeks in a row.
But we could do roundups when big stuff do happen again.
Yeah.
Let us know. And if you guys did enjoy it, please share it with anyone else you think might enjoy it. And thank you guys for listening. We're really grateful for you guys for listening and sticking till the end. And we'll catch you guys next time. Peace out.